Well, good morning. How's everybody? I hope you're doing well. If you don't know me, my name's Elliot. I'm the lead minister here at The Cove. Hey, Bubba. And I am thrilled to be here with you today, whether you are Elijah or whether you are not. And I'm so glad whether you're with us in the room right now. I want to take a second and welcome you. Whether you're in the room, hi, or whether you are live on the stream or on Spotify on the podcast a little bit later, thank you for being here. Today we're going to open up the Word of God together, but before we do that, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the chance to be here in this place together as a family. We love you so much. We're so thankful for what you're doing here at Swiss Cove. We're so thankful for what you're doing through Swiss Cove all over the world. Thank you for letting us be a small part of what you're doing in the kingdom. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. So several years ago, I was out for a run. Don't worry, I got over it, okay? And I don't do that anymore. So I was out for a run, and what happened is not really important that I was on a run, but what happened while I was there. And maybe this is true for you. It's not so much that it was a run, but it was outside. And I tend to see and hear from God a little more clearly when I'm outside because there's a lot less distractions. Maybe you have experienced this as well. But have you ever had the impression that God was speaking to you? Because I have several times, and I've never heard the audible voice of God. But that day, as I was out in nature, I just felt God speaking to me. And he said, Elliot, here's what I need you to do. I need you to plant 7 churches. And it kind of blew my mind because that was a big expansion of what I thought God was asking me to do. He was expanding my vision. Because, you know, up to that point, I'd have been thrilled if Swiss Cove ever hit 700 members in weekly attendance. And to be honest with you, I would still be thrilled if Swiss Cove hit 700 members in weekly attendance. And kind of one of many goal is to hit 200 adults in weekly attendance by the end of this year. You think we can do that? I think we can. It's not because of what we're doing. It's because of what God is doing. But attendance goals, they're great, they're fine, and maybe in some cases they're necessary, but they're not the ultimate goal, right? Like, we understand that the goal of the church is not to gather a bunch of people in a room for an hour once a week. That's not what we're trying to do. And I told you earlier in the year, you remember at the beginning of the year, we did this whole series, Believe, Belong, Become, as we kind of set the tone for the year. We said we need to believe in Jesus, we need to belong to Christ and to the church, and we need to become all that God wants us to be. And I said one of the goals that we have over the next 8 years is to be completely debt-free. And it's a big goal because we still owe about $1.6 million on the building. So it's going to take $200,000 a year in order to make that happen, in addition to everything else that has to happen on a weekly basis. And so that's a big goal. And it's a worthy goal. It's a good goal. But it's not the ultimate goal because the church is also not about just finances and being debt-free, though we want to do that. See, that's not the ultimate goal. Because the ultimate goal of the church is to be a place that makes disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. We want to be a church planting church. And how many of you know that the more time you spend with God, the more he expands your vision? He takes the dream that you had and he makes it bigger than you ever thought possible. You know that God wants more for you and your life than you ever could, right? And he wants more, not just for your life, but for the lives of those around you. He wants more for them than you ever could as well. And recently, I was rereading Dave Ferguson's book, Hero Maker, which I highly recommend, by the way, especially for you leader types. And in it, he challenges you to take your current dream and multiply it by 100. Now, I'm not a phenomenal mathematician, but I can do that one. So one of my Kids Cove friends, could you help me out? What's 7 times 100? What you got? 7 times 100. Yeah, go ahead. Shout it out. It's okay. 700. Thank you very much. You know how daunting it is to think about planting 700 churches? That's a big goal, and I know that I can't do that. I certainly can't do it by myself, but I also read this quote from Alvin Toffler lately, which I love. It's probably going to end up on the wall at my house. He says, when you're doing the little things, keep the big things in mind so that the little things move in the right direction. I like that. When you're doing the little things, keep the big thing in mind so that the little things go in the right direction. And when we talk about the church, there's a lot of little things that have to get done, and they're important, and they matter, and they have to be done every week. There are ministries to coordinate. There are a lot of them. You'll find out about every one of them next week as we have our ministry fairs. Brandon talked to us about. But just our kids' co-friends that are in here with us today, think about that for a minute. All of the people that work with them, there's over 20 plus volunteers a weekend. They don't magically show up. And they don't magically have lessons and props and all these other things. All that has to be coordinated. And Wednesday night dinner that we enjoy every week doesn't cook itself, does it? And all the groups that we go to, the curriculum doesn't magically appear. And the songs, the band doesn't just magically know this stuff. There's a lot of little things that go into making the hour that we spend together. I could go on for a long time, but I'll stop because I think you understand. There's a lot of little things, praise God, amen, yeah, that go into making the hour that we spend together what it is. There's a lot of things to coordinate so that each ministry has what it needs to function the best way that it can. And it's easy to lose sight when we get down into the weeds and administrating all of the little things. It's easy to lose sight of the big goal, isn't it? Because all of these things, they matter and they have to happen if we're going to have a Sunday morning. And it's easy to slip into this mindset as we're working on the little things that the ministry that I'm involved in is the most important one. After all, it's the one I picked. Therefore, it is the most important one, is it not? And so we kind of get this thing going where we're like, well, if you're not involved in the ministry that I'm involved in, maybe it's because you don't like me personally, or maybe probably it's because you don't love Jesus quite as much as I do. And then we find ourselves in a little bit of trouble, right? It's easy in the middle of all of the little things that have to happen to lose sight of the fact that we're meant to be working towards something bigger together, all pushing in the same direction, working together as a whole. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that we really are in this together. It's easy to stop thinking about the big things because we get overwhelmed with all the little ones. And sometimes the shift is very subtle. Many times we get caught up in this idea that church exists to meet our needs. And to an extent, the church does meet our needs. Okay, we all have individual needs. The church offers many wonderful things. And I hope that it's a blessing to you. But let me be very clear. The church does not exist to make us feel fulfilled or happy. That's not why we're here. The church doesn't exist to make us feel fulfilled or happy. Because, you know, if the church is about me, then they better do it the way I like it, when I like it, and they better arrange it around my schedule and do it the way I would do it. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what we're here to do. And most of us understand that we're not called to be inwardly focused. Most of us get it. And so we shift our focus outward and we say, okay, what we're going to do? We're going to make converts. There was this movement in church leadership circles for a long time. We would say we're going to be seeker-friendly. You heard that? We're going to be seeker-friendly. We want to make as many converts as possible. We want to see as many people begin a relationship with Jesus as possible. And that, on the surface, sounds pretty good, right? It sounds biblical, even. But when we focus on making converts, we're a lot closer to the goal, but we've still missed the mark. See, the problem comes when we confuse converts with disciples, because they are not the same thing. Converts and disciples are not the same thing. We are called to make and be disciples, not to make and be converts. And that might sound like just a semantic difference, but I promise you it's not. Let's take a deeper look at it. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave his followers a command on a mountainside. And it's one of the most famous and one of the most important tasks that he has given all of those who would follow him. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to begin in verse 16. If you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the live event tab and check it out from there. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16, here's what it says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You know, Jesus had established his authority. He did that when he rose from the grave. Amen? He conquered sin, death, Satan, and hell. And now he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. But before he does, he gives his followers a job to do. And it wasn't to make converts. It was to make disciples. And it wasn't just to make disciples, it was to make disciples of all nations. This is a monster job. He tells 11 guys, make disciples of everybody on the planet. Unless you think I'm exaggerating, he reaffirms this command a couple of chapters later in Acts chapter 1, right before he actually ascends into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, here's what we read. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So they wanted to know, Jesus, is it time to rule the world now? Is it go time? Because this is the moment that we've been waiting for. And he said, listen, I've already given you a job to do. I need you to let God worry about the timing. How about you just focus on the job that I have given you? Go and make disciples of every nation. So that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And the church was born soon thereafter. We are sitting in this room right now, in this moment, together today, because they did what Jesus told them to do. But they couldn't do it by themselves. They understood that they need to make disciples who make disciples. They were engaged in the mission. They kept their focus on the big thing, and the big thing was making disciples of all nations. And by the way, that task has not changed. In all these years, since it happened that day, since Jesus gave that command, the task has not changed. The same calling that Jesus gave to the 11 on the mountainside that day is the same calling that he has placed on your life today. And the question that every follower of Jesus has to answer is this: am I willing to set aside my little dream in order to pursue this big one? Am I willing to set aside my little goals in order to pursue this big one? So what am I asking you? Am I asking you to quit your job and enroll in Bible college and major in missions and end up on a foreign field somewhere? I don't know, maybe. And I'm not going to rule it out. Who am I to decide what the Lord's going to do with your life? Maybe not, but maybe. We're going to talk in detail next week what it looks like to make disciples in our day-to-day lives. We're going to dive deep into that. But let's be clear. What we decide to do in our day-to-day lives, those are the little things. That's the little things. And we're going to talk about those. But let's talk about the big one first. Why are we starting with the big one? Well, because when we're doing the little things, we need to keep the big one in mind so that the little things all go in the right direction. So how can you make disciples of all nations? Here it is in one sentence. Make disciples personally and partner with other people who do the same thing. Make disciples personally and partner with other people who do the same. This is probably a really good time to talk about what a disciple is, yeah? Because if we're going to make disciples, we have to know what it is that we're talking about. So a disciple, very simply, is a Christian who helps another Christian take their next step of faith. Okay? A Christian who helps another Christian take their next step of faith. This is different from evangelism, because evangelism is a Christian who helps a non-Christian take their first step of faith and reconnect their relationship with God, who brings them to know Christ. Okay, so evangelism is a Christian who helps a non-Christian take their first step of faith. A disciple is a Christian who helps another Christian take their next step of faith. Right? And herein lies the difference between a disciple and a convert. A convert is somebody who becomes a Christian and just stops right there. Okay? A convert doesn't necessarily grow in their faith. They don't share their faith. They don't help other people grow in their faith either. And don't get me wrong, we want you to become a Christian. This is the most important decision that you can make in your entire life. And maybe you need to begin that journey today. I would love to talk with you about what that looks like, what that means, and how to do that. I'm going to be quiet in just a minute. I'm going to come down here. You can come talk to me at any point. You don't have to wait till service is over. I'll be down here. If you want, I'll be here as long as we need to be here. If you don't want to come talk to me, that's okay too. Find somebody with a name tag. If they have a name tag on, that means they are either staff or they are one of the elders here. And our staff and elders love you so much, and they would love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus and how you can do that. Please talk to somebody before you leave today. It's the most important decision you can make in your life. And if you're with us on the stream, you can email us at hello@swisscovechristian.com. We hope that you will. We want you to be a Christian, but we don't want you to settle for being a convert. You see it? We want you to be a Christian, but don't settle for being a convert. Be a disciple. Be a disciple who makes disciples. Better yet, be a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples. Why does this matter? Because this is the big thing. The big thing. The big goal is to make disciples of all nations, and that cannot be done unless we are all engaged in the mission that Christ has given us. And listen, we're going to help you along the way. You don't have to make it up as you go. We have some incredible disciple makers who would love to connect with you here. We will help you along this journey. We will walk alongside you. If you want more information on what it means and how to make disciples who make disciples, please come talk to me before you leave. It is probably my favorite thing in the world to talk about. Okay, so I'll be down here. I'd love to chat with you about it. But you have to decide. You have to decide. Am I going to engage in the mission that Christ has given the church? The mission of the church is to make disciples of all nations. So, you know, I was thinking maybe planting 700 churches is too small of a vision. That terrifies me to even say that out loud. Because this is multiplication thinking. Taking your dream and multiplying it by 100 and then handing it to Jesus and watching him blow that out of the water as well. He tends to take things and blow them up bigger than you ever dreamed possible. The problem is when you start thinking like this, you realize how small you are. And you realize very quickly that there's no chance you're doing this on your own. And I'm sure that you're a really awesome person. I know many of you, if not most of you in this room right now, I know you're awesome people. But let me just say this to you in love. You can't do this. Not on your own. You can't save the world by yourself. First of all, you can't save anybody. Only Jesus can do that. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Only Jesus can save. But just because you can't save him doesn't mean that Jesus didn't give you a job to do. He did. The job he has given to you is to make disciples of all nations. And we can't do that as individuals. This is where you becomes we. See, we engage in the mission by making disciples personally. We take people who are faithful, available, and teachable, and we train them in a reproducible relational process to make disciples of other people. We want to make and be fishers of men. That's what we're here to do. And then we partner with other people who do the same thing. You can do this individually, and I hope that you will. We also do this as a church. Every Sunday morning, you pass by a giant map of the world. You pass by it at least once already today. I know, because you're in this room, and you have to pass it to get in here. Why do we have that? Because we like maps? Well, I mean, yes, we like maps, but that's not the reason it's there. Okay, the map of the world out there is our mission wall. And what you'll find are the locations of every missionary that we support. All of our mission partners. Okay, we have 10 partners here in the U.S. and we have 7 international partners. We're proud of each and every one of them and the work that they are doing to make disciples of all nations. We have partners in North America, Central, South America, Europe, and Africa. And each one of them is committed to making disciples who make disciples. We want you to get to know them. We want you to know who they are, what they're about, what they do. We want you to reach out to them, engage with them, pray with them. One of our mission partners came and shared with us last week. We had Kane Miller from FSU come and share with us what God is doing on the campus. It was an incredible time. And over the next several months, we're going to have 2 more of our missionaries from overseas come and share with us what is going on, what God is doing in them and through them. It's going to be an incredible time. We've got a couple of mission trips coming up as well. We're going to Colombia in June. We're going to Brazil in July. And we already had a team come and go from the Dominican Republic earlier this year. And as you came in today, hopefully you were handed a book that has all of our mission partners in it. And you'll see on the chairs, there are individual postcards. We hope you'll take those home and hang them on the fridge or put them on the mirror somewhere where you'll see them. We have those for each of our individual mission partners as well. What you'll find in those books and on those cards is the picture, the name of the missionary, what they do, how to contact them. And we contacted each of them personally and said, hey, how can we partner with you in prayer right now? How can we pray for you? So what you'll find in there as well are the specific prayer requests that each of our missionaries are asking us to partner with them in right now. And we hope that you will. I hope that we won't spend the afternoon picking these up all over the building. I hope you'll take them with you and you'll get to know these missionaries, that you'll pray for them and partner with them as well, as they work hard to make disciples who make disciples of all nations. Because listen, not all of us are going overseas. And I wish we all were going overseas, but the reality is we're not. We're not all going overseas. That's okay, because not everybody is called to serve in the same way. But we all share the same mission, don't we? We have the same mission. And maybe our part isn't to serve boots on the ground in a foreign field, but to send those who do, to partner with them, to support them, to pray with them as they give their lives for the gospel. And make no mistake about it, we talked about it a couple weeks ago on Resurrection Sunday, that the call of every follower of Jesus is to give their life in service of the gospel. And most of us in this place are called to do that, called to make disciples right here as we go about our lives in St. John's and in Duval Counties. And again, we'll talk about that more in depth next week. What does that look like? But even as we make disciples here, we partner with those who are making disciples elsewhere, because Swiss Cove's ultimate goal is the same as those 11 who stood with Jesus on the mountainside that day. The mission has not changed. So as we go about the little things in our day-to-day lives, we keep the big thing in mind. And the ultimate goal is to make disciples of all nations. We do that by making disciples personally and partnering with people who do the same thing. So let's not get distracted, church. Even as we attend to all the little things that matter, they're important. But as we do these little things, let's keep the big thing in mind so that the little things all move in the right direction. Let's stay focused on our calling, church. Let's get to work. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the chance to be here in this place. Thank you for loving us and being with us. Thank you for allowing us to be just a small part of what you're doing in the kingdom of God. We're so honored to be able to do that. We ask that you will help us to keep our eyes locked on you. God, our heart is that your name and your glory would spread to the ends of the earth. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen.